Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a sister who lives in Woodstock, Georgia. She's lived there for years now. That's where they settled after she married her husband, just outside of Atlanta. It's to the northwest for any of you who know the Atlanta area. When you travel to Atlanta, you can't help but notice the theme of peaches. The name of one of the streets running through the city of Atlanta is Peachtree Street. In southern Atlanta, in the metro area, we find Peachtree City. All this because Georgia is known for the delicious peaches that its people grow. It's known as the Peachtree State, and of course, its state fruit is the peach. However, Georgia is not unique in being known for its production of a particular fruit. When we think of Washington, we think of apples. Exactly. When we think of Florida, we think of oranges, orange trees, and perhaps even those sun-kissed orange commercials. We remember many states by their fruits, and we could go on with a much longer list. So also, the kingdom of God is recognized by the fruit its people produce. Of course, this fruit is different than that which is found on branches or vines. Kingdom people produce kingdom fruit. The production of kingdom fruit is a very special task given to us as kingdom people by God. The importance of this task cannot be overemphasized, especially when one considers that the task has been taken away from those who failed at its production and performance. This is what is taught for us in our appointed gospel text for today in Matthew. Matthew 21:33 reads, "When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' Jesus addresses this immediate question by replying, as recorded in verses 24 through 27 of our text, 'I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things.' The baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, then he will say, then why did you not believe John? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd because they believe John was a prophet.' So they answered Jesus, 'We don't know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" In this context, Jesus teaches the lesson of our gospel reading, which was directed at the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, and their refusal to acknowledge him as the promised Messiah. In Jesus' parable, the master of the vineyard is God the Father. The servants are all the Old Testament prophets that have come beforehand and predicted his coming. And the son of the master is Jesus himself. The tenants are the leadership of that day's, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the scribes. They are the tenants of the nation of Israel. Jesus is pointing out these leaders of Israel and pointing out to them that he knows what they want to do to him. They want to do to him the same thing as their fathers and predecessors did to the prophets who had come before him. They had abused them terribly, and they had even killed some. Then Jesus asked them the question after telling them this parable. "When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants?" His listeners responded with what any good leader would say, noticing rebellion in their midst. They said that the owner would throw the tenants out of the vineyard, and he would find new tenants to come in and take care of it. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and is it marvelous in our eyes?' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. With these words of teaching from Jesus, the chief priests and the Pharisees now have an aha moment. They now understand they are represented by the unfaithful tenants in the parable. They know that they have not been producing kingdom fruit, and they were rejecting the very Son of God himself. This is seen in the discussion about the stones. And they would not be the ones, they would be the ones who would be responsible for his death. They realize in this moment that Jesus is comparing them to their forefathers who had also rejected the prophets and their message, which was fulfilled in Jesus the Christ. Jesus emphatically tells them, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing fruit." In other words, fruit production is expected of kingdom people. These words of rejection spoken to those who deny Jesus also carry special emphasis for those new tenants being given the kingdom of God. Here, this is an allusion to the beginning of outreach to the Gentiles, of whom we have benefited from today. We are today the Gentiles. Simply stated, the kingdom of God will be given to a people producing fruit. The same is true today in Christianity throughout the world. The Lord supplies all that we need. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel. The Holy Spirit enlightens us with his gifts. We are connected to Jesus, who now becomes our lifeline in bearing fruit. This is his message in John chapter 15, where he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that will bear much fruit. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." He empowers us through his word and through his sacraments for this very reason. Being fully nurtured by God, we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work that we perform. Colossians 1:10. The question now is, does the fruit of our service match the nurture that he performs for us? He has nurtured us in our faith. Jesus declared, "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand even more." Luke 12:48. God has been abundantly generous to us, his people. We lack nothing for the work of his kingdom. Yet we all too often find ourselves making excuses instead of bearing fruit. We even fall into the trap of the original tenants in this parable. We believe that what we possess, our time, our talents, our treasure, is ours. Yet the psalmist reminds us, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof," that is, the blessings thereof, our time on this earth, our talents given us, and our treasure. Therefore, with repentant hearts and forgiven lives, we should listen to the words of Colossians 3:17. "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Through word and sacrament, by God's grace in Christ Jesus, we are made new people in the kingdom. We truly did not deserve this honored position. As the Bible declares, we were, in fact, enemies with God. But in this state, God reconciled us to himself. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Romans 5:10. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, this reconciliation was accomplished. What an incredible price our Heavenly Father paid. By grace through faith, our sins are forgiven. Faith is given. This faith believes in Jesus, the Son of God. And we are then tenants of God's kingdom. By faith, then, we bear fruit for the kingdom. Paul says in Romans 7:4, "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God." As people of the kingdom, my friends, we are, present tense, we are in a new state. We are spiritually alive. We've been raised from spiritual death. In this new state, the production of our sanctified lives is kingdom fruit, which is seen in our repentance. It's seen in our faith, our works of faith, and in the making of disciples. That is bringing people to Christ. The good news is that we are not left to do this without help. As people of the kingdom of God, God graciously nurtures us and generously gives us everything we need to produce kingdom fruit. Words from our gospel reading remind us of what the Master has done. What has the Master done? The Master planted a vineyard. He put a fence around it. He dug a wine press in it, and he built a tower for the tenants. The Master supplied everything the tenants needed to produce fruit, kingdom fruit. And for those to whom the kingdom has been given, it is fruit production season. This is what kingdom people do. By God's grace, this is what the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, which we call the LWML, does. It is well known for its emphasis on fruit production, as expressed in its pledge, which we'll recite together after the sermon. From churches to communities to the world, these Lutheran women in mission are well known for the gathering of their mites, their gifts, in their home districts to support global work abroad. Their hands-on labor reached from congregation to community and around the world. The LWML is a blessing to many. Rest assured of it. As a former missionary, both for LBT and for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I have seen the work that has been done by their mites. Kingdom people produce kingdom fruit. Fits well the description of their purpose and their mission. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Every healthy tree bears good fruit." As followers of Jesus, God makes us healthy in Christ. We are in the right state, namely his kingdom. We are in the right season. It is fruit-producing season. So kingdom people produce kingdom fruit. They bring forth the fruits of repentance, faith, works of faith. Go and make disciples, kingdom people. Go and make disciples. May the kingdom of God be recognized by our fruit, and to God alone be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.